The acceleration was almost instantaneous. Juan slit his eyes against the brutal wind. The golden sky lay 4 miles ahead, her gleaming upperworks making her look like a jewel on the dark waters, while her wake glowed with an ethereal trail of phosphorescence. The Oregon was moving some 20-odd knots faster than the cruise ship, so they quickly cut the distance.
"Kovac must be going nuts," Eddie remarked. "We keep showing up like the proverbial bad penny."
"Chairman, he tossed another," Holly shouted over the radio. "It was a woman this time, and she was definitely alive."
"Alert Mike. Weps, give him a squirt with the Gatling as close to the wing bridge as you can. Let Kovac know the next time he sets foot out there, we're going to shred him."
The armored plate covering the starboard side Gatling gun folded back, and the weapon peaked from its redoubt as the motor spun up its 6 rotating barrels. When it fired, the sound was like a mechanical buzzsaw tearing itself to pieces. A tongue of flame shot 20 feet from the Oregon's flank, and a stream of 200 depleted uranium rounds arced across the sky. They passed so close to the flying bridge that paint blistered off the metal railing. The bullets peppered the sea ahead of the ship in a multitude of tiny eruptions. The golden sky immediately turned away from the attack.
"That rattled his cage," Eddie was grinning.
Max kept the Oregon 100 feet off the other ship as they came abeam, and when Kovac tried to turn into them again, Max kept just out of reach, using the bow thrusters to keep the Oregon turning tighter than the golden sky.
"Max, get ready," Juan said. "Weps, prepare to fire again on my mark, but don't hit the ship."
He waited for his men to get in position on the Oregon's rail, their grappling hook guns at their shoulders.
"Aim for the main deck. Max, go."
The Oregon carved in on the liner, cutting the gap in half in just a few seconds.
"Fire,"
Juan said, and the Gatling shrieked again as he and the assault team launched their grappling hooks. All 12 hooks sailed across the gap, and when they heaved back on the lines, all had caught firmly. The Oregon came in even tighter, almost brushing the cruise ship, so the men wouldn't injure themselves when they arced across, while the Gatling continued to spit a continuous stream of fire across the sky's bridge.
"Go!"
Juan gripped the line tightly and leapt over the railing, swinging across the gap at an ever-accelerating pace. The Oregon cut away sharply behind him. He had intentionally aimed above a large row of windows and had judged the distance perfectly. His feet hit the glass, and he exploded into the deserted dining room, saving himself the tedious task of climbing up the line. His team knew to hook up outside the bridge if they got separated. He unslung the MP5 from across his back. Moving cautiously, the weapon tucked high on his shoulder so he had a constant sight picture, he weaved through the tables toward the exit. He came out on the mezzanine level of the atrium. Passengers were milling around, still dazed after the impact with the Oregon. A man was lying at the bottom of a flight of stairs, being attended to by a pair of women. An elderly lady screamed when she spotted Juan. Juan raised the submachine gun's barrel in a non-threatening manner.
"Ladies and gentlemen, this ship has been hijacked," he said. "I am part of a United Nations hostage rescue team. Return to your cabins immediately. Tell passengers you see that they must stay in their cabins until we have secured this ship."
A man in civilian attire with an aura of authority approached him.
"I'm Greg Turner, second assistant engineer. Is there anything I can do to help?"
"Tell me the fastest way to the bridge and see that these people get to their rooms."
"How bad is it?" Turner asked.
"Have you ever heard of a good hijacking?"
"Sorry, dumb question."
"Don't sweat it."
Turner gave Juan the directions, as well as a magnetic pass card to get him into the off-limit spaces, and Cabrillo took off at a trot. When he reached the door marked no admittance, he swiped the card through the reader and propped the door open with a nearby potted fern for the rest of his team. By his estimates, they should be only a minute behind him.